This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, this is Hal.
And Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to this episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And, you know, one of the big things that people go through as their young people mature and grow up is that question, do you go to college and how do you get there? Of course, we're not going to talk about the decision whether or not to go. We'll start this episode with the assumption that you've made a decision.
But you need to know what college to go to.
Right.
You know, I remember last year we were making tons of college visits. We were about to take off and spend a whole week making college visits.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends said, you know, why are you doing that? It seems like a big waste of time and money. And I told her about the college visit that changed my life.
Yes.
You know, I had always...
Mine too, actually.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
I always thought that I would go to one of the colleges near where we lived. And, you know, one day we made a college visit to the big university closest to my home. And I went and visited the departments and did everything. And we got out of the car and I couldn't stop crying. I said, Mom, I don't want to go here. I don't like it here. I don't feel good about this place. I was a wreck. I mean, I was falling apart because that had been my plan.
Right.
I was going to go there with all my friends and be happy and be close to home and everything was going to be fine.
And you didn't like it once you saw it.
I didn't like it.
Okay.
And so Mom said, fine, let's go to Clemson this weekend.
Okay.
And I didn't want to go to Clemson. I'd heard about Clemson all my life. Too much about Clemson.
Uh-huh.
My parents were like Clemson crazy. That's where my father went. That's where my grandfather went. And it was way too far away from home for me.
Right.
Mom didn't care. She gathered one of my friends and her mother and we took a drive and we went down there. And you know what? I fell in love with it.
Uh-huh.
I knew that's where I was supposed to be, and that's where I met you.
And so your decision on your college choice changed my life and led directly to us having 8 children and moving all over the country and everything else because of where you chose to go to school. It's remarkable how the decision that sometimes we kind of do whimsically will affect everything else that follows afterwards.
Well, it really does, and that's why it's important to visit a college.
Uh-huh.
Because you really can't know all about it from the literature.
Mm-hmm.
You can't know all about it from the website. There's a feeling about it. There's things that you need to ask and probing questions that you really can't know unless you get there on campus.
Well, you know what? Now, we've been through this now with 3 of our sons.
Yeah.
And we're about to ramp it up for our 4th.
Yes.
It's going to be a little different for him. But the thing about it is, we found out that really when you make a campus visit, there are actually 2 visits that you have to make.
Yeah.
There's the official academic, typical school life kind of visit. And then there's the visit that we want to make as Christian students and Christian parents. Which is not the one that's going to be in the literature. It's not the one that people are going to talk about quite the same way. But yet, it's crucially important. So we're going to talk about both aspects.
That's right. You know, the first thing about making the visit is to plan it.
Okay.
And what you've got to do is first you've got to contact the college and let them know when you'll be coming through.
Oh, now who's going to contact the college?
Well, first of all, we got to say, I would not recommend you go on a new student day or, you know, a open house day, because then you're going to be one of a huge crowd.
You know, there's something of a circus atmosphere for those.
Yeah. And you're not going to really get a sense of what the college is like on a normal day.
Right.
And so I would go just a normal day. It needs to be a day of the week though.
A day of the week. And you need to think a little bit about the academic calendar. You don't want to go during like fall break when nobody's
right.
on campus. You don't want to be there during
exam week
when everybody's got their heads down in their books. You need to be there one of the weeks, you know, 2 or 3 weeks into the semester, you know, a month or 2 before the end of the semester, something like that, so that you can get a kind of a snapshot of a typical day in the life.
Yes. Now, you asked a very important question. Who makes the call?
That's right.
And I tell you what, I cannot tell you strongly enough, Mom, it's mm-hmm. not you.
No, because you know what? There's a phenomenon that college administrators are complaining about, the helicopter parent. And their number one complaint, now this is not fair because it's not our problem, but the number one complaint, their expectation is that homeschool parents are just basically puppeteers and that their kids are incapable of working without mom and dad's constant direction.
And you're going to have to counter that assumption. It's not true.
No, of course not.
But you're going to have to counter it. And that means your child has got to take the lead in every single contact with the college.
And that means that the voice on the phone when the college admissions office picks up needs to be your student.
Yes.
And the person who opens the door and introduces everybody needs to be the student. And mom and dad need to be just hangers on, right?
That's right. Now you're going to say, but. The only buts I will allow is if your child is overseas.
That's a little different.
We did have one child who was in China at the time these appointments needed to be made. But even then I called and I said, my son, John Calvin Young, is in China. And he asked me if I would call you and ask this.
So you were acting on your son's direction, basically.
But you best not do that unless your child's overseas.
No.
Because honestly, you will get so many points with everyone you talk to if your child takes the lead. So what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need to call the admissions department and you want to set up an interview with an admissions officer, a tour of the campus, preferably, if you can, just an individual tour, just your child and a tour guide.
Yeah. And you know what? Now, you may be looking at the postcard they send you from the college and say, but they've got these new student days and they're just trying to save work for everybody. Guess what? That's why admissions offices exist.
Right.
Is to walk around two or three students at a time.
Right.
And if they can run a dog and pony show for 100, swell. But you know what? You don't want that. Or you don't want to settle for that. You may do one of those, but you've got to do the individual tour as well.
Right. And you want to ask them, would it be possible for us to eat in the cafeteria? Now, on the phone, they may not really tell you, but when you get in person, you want to ask them. And then you want to contact the academic department or two or three your child may be interested in being a part of.
So if your child is interested in engineering, then you want to, like, not just the quote College of Engineering, but maybe the specific department, electrical or chemical or computer engineering.
And part of that's going to be guessing, because if you're in the junior year, which is a great time to make college visits,
yeah,
your child may not know what they want to major in yet.
And that's okay.
That's okay. It may be two or three different ones.
Right.
But you want to call the department, the child calls the department.
Yes.
And says, you know, hi, I'm Sam's student, and mm-hmm. I'm going to be visiting your college on Tuesday the 8th. And I was wondering if there was a professor that could take some time to talk to me. Now, it's even better if you can ask for a specific professor. How do you find those? Like ISI, the Intercollegiate Studies Institute.
Oh, that's good. That is a conservative organization that focuses on colleges that really are, they're really comfortable for conservative students, okay? Not just politically conservative, but academically, religiously conservative. And so they're going to have colleges that focus on the Western civilization aspect.
And they're going to mention specific professors that are great.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can call and ask to speak to that professor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the cool thing about that is if that professor likes you and is impressed with you, sometimes they can influence things. Like, for example, one of our sons was visiting a college and he's talking to one of these professors and they got really interested in things. Well, another mm-hmm. professor walks by his door outside and he says, hey, Jim, come here a minute.
Yeah.
Aren't you on the scholarship committee? Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Okay. Take a good look at this student. Here's his name. I'm going to write it down for you. I want him in my department.
Wow. Now that is a contact.
Yeah.
That is awesome. But you know, we've seen that kind of thing happen.
Yes.
And you know, that's part of having a well-prepared student who presents himself well,
yeah,
or herself well.
Yeah, and then so let's talk about what happens when you get there, okay?
Okay.
The student has made all the appointments, all the phone calls.
Right.
And I know our kids panic when I tell them they've got to do that.
Now, we do need to make a point here. This is the interface with the college. That doesn't mean mom and dad sit back and tell the student at home, you figure it out.
No.
No,
you do lots of coaching.
You do lots and lots of hands-on at home.
And one thing we do is we role play. Okay.
Yep.
I don't know what to say, Mom. Okay, well, let's pretend. I'll pretend I'm the admissions department.
Yes.
Or you pretend you're the admissions department, and I'm going to make a pretend phone call.
Yes.
And this is how I would handle it, son. No, you try. And role play. And that way they can feel confident when they get on the phone. They know what to say.
And you know what? One of the things that I learned, both doing this kind of thing, job interviews, doing media interviews, you learn this. Think about the one question that you pray they won't ask. The most awkward thing they could ask you. That's what you need to rehearse. That's what you need to have an answer for.
And that's, you know, some colleges really don't interview much. And so your meeting with the admissions department will be just like, can I answer any questions? Make sure your child has some questions. When you walk into the admissions department, the child should walk in first.
Yep.
And he should introduce himself, then introduce you.
Yes. And these are my parents. Introduce. And then it's all the student and the college.
Right.
You just sit there and listen.
And be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And there, but a lot of colleges may not say this is an admissions interview, but it still goes into the record and a lot of weight is given to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so think about what the hard questions are.
Mm-hmm.
What do you not like about homeschooling? What is your least favorite subject?
Mm-hmm.
What are your weaknesses?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's the deal. You got to be honest. We're Christians. You have to be honest. You don't have to be stupid.
Yeah. You don't have You don't have to go out and go into a mass confession session or something.
No. If they say, what is your greatest weakness? You don't have to tell them what your greatest weakness is. What you do have to say is you have to answer the question in a way that's not offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to actually showcase a strength of yours.
Right.
So how do you do that? What is your greatest strength? I mean, what is your greatest weakness? Well, one of my weaknesses is I'm a real perfectionist.
Oh, yes.
I find it hard to accept it when I don't do as well as I'd like to do. And I've really struggled with that in my schooling.
And then you explain the steps you're taking to deal with that known difficulty.
Yes.
So you say, and that's why I'm working hard to be a better manager of my time and to really prioritize so that I'm not just a slave to urgent things, but I'm really focusing on what's important.
And so use every question they give you as a hook to hang one of your qualities. You need to think in advance of two or three academic gifts you have or things that they might want to know about you academically, two or three things extracurricular wise,
mm-hmm.
and use their questions to hang one of your information bullets on.
Let me make a recommendation. A really helpful book for interviewing of any sort by Martin Yate, Y-A-T-E. It's called Knock 'em Dead. And
it's about
awesome.
Job interviews, but it's fantastic for teaching that mindset of how you can go into an interview and use the questions they're asking you to showcase yourself while still being honest and forthright.
You know, this is an important thing we learned through this process is that colleges build their incoming class the same way that a coach builds his incoming team. And colleges are going to be interested in students who are interesting because they want a certain kind of environment in their student body. And so you need to go in and say, what makes me special?
How am I different? Yeah. How am I interesting? What do I bring to the table?
Yeah. And you know what? Yes, if you've got great academics, that's perfect. You need to emphasize academics, but
that's only a piece of it.
You have to balance it out and say, you know what? I'm not just a bookworm. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not just a 4.0 student.
But I've been a leadership in this charitable organization, or I play this instrument, or I'm a filmmaker. You know,
or I'm a long distance bicyclist, or I breed parakeets, or just something that will make you stand out. Because we had one admissions officer tell us, you know what? I've got a desk full of perfect SAT scores. What makes you different?
Yeah.
You know, that is a wide open door for you.
Now, after you've blown their socks off and pressed them,
yeah.
A couple of things. I would like to look at the campus. Could I take a tour of the campus?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in big universities, you're going to have to schedule that tour way in advance.
Mm-hmm.
At small colleges, they'll probably pick up the phone and call somebody and say, hey, could you come give this guy a tour?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to vary how that works. Going on the tour will help orient you to the campus and see the inside of some things you couldn't see otherwise, like dorm rooms.
Yeah.
Now, and ask them, you know, would it be possible for us to eat in the cafeteria? Now, a lot of colleges will say, sure, and here's some meal tickets. Others will say, sure, we'd love for you to. It's $17 a meal.
And that's not an unusual price.
Yeah. And so, but you still probably at least the student and one of the parents ought to eat in the cafeteria
mm-hmm.
because that's going to be your food for at least the first 2 or 3 years.
That's right. I mean, and when you look at it and you can see, is there a variety of stuff, you know, if you have any special concerns about your diet, whatever they might be, or if you can look at it and say, okay, there's a variety of tastes and textures and flavors available, or they all came out of the same tube. Yeah. I don't know. You know, you want to see that when you go in there.
Yeah, it's just livability.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay. And, you know, always make sure that your student clearly states to admissions counselor, I'm looking forward to this college. I hope I get in.
Because, you know, your goal when you go in is you want an invitation. And you know what? At the end of the day, you hope you get lots of invitations so you can choose.
Now, if it's a school where you're in the top quarter, your statistics are in the top mm-hmm. quarter of accepted students, so you're pretty certain to get in. Mm-hmm. Then you say, not, I hope I get in. You say, I am really impressed with your college. I hope we can make this work. Mm-hmm. And that's a way of saying, make it worth my while to come here.
Right. That is the tag for financial aid.
Yes. Okay. Now, you should also ask to speak to the financial aid
yep.
office. And real quickly, there's a couple of things you need to ask the financial aid office. You need to say, what scholarships are available? How to apply for them? What's the deadline? But you also need to ask, what is, what percentage of need are you able to meet? Mm-hmm. Because some colleges can only meet 40% of their students' need. That tells you, you better be able to have the money to make the rest of it. Other students yes. will say, we have a policy, we make 100% need. Mm-hmm. And then you ask, okay, do you meet need with loans or with grants?
And I tell you what, you'd be surprised at the colleges who use just flat out grants yeah. to meet known student need. I mean, some of the most
expensive colleges, like one of our sons went to one of the elite liberal arts colleges, mm-hmm. one of the top 15 in the nation, horribly expensive, $52,000 a year when he was there. But they guarantee that they will meet 100% of your need with grants. So they guarantee that whatever your FAFSA says you need, you're going to graduate with no debt.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is. Well, I'll tell you what, we need to take a short break here, and then okay. let's come back. And, you know, we may need to run to three segments on this because there's a lot of information
yeah,
that plays
right.
into this. So why don't we take a short break here, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk some more about making college visits that count.
It's not always easy having sons. Teenage boys put away a startling amount of groceries. Younger boys can be downright destructive. They're noisy, unconcerned with hygiene, and the dog has a longer attention span. Or so it seems, some days. If these are God's chosen gifts to us, and we believe that they are, then why does it seem so hard? How can we prepare these boys to serve God when we can barely make it through the day? Isn't there a better way? The answer is yes. Raising Real Men, Surviving, Teaching, and Appreciating Boys by Hal and Melanie Young is a practical, award-winning guide to equipping the hearts and minds of boys without breaking or losing your own. John Rosemond says, this is just what the doctor ordered for parents who want to raise capable Christian men of character. Raising Real Men by Hal and Melanie Young. Visit them on the web at raisingrealmen.com. Brought to you by Great Waters Press.
Well, thank you for joining us. This is Hal.
And Melanie.
And we are talking about making biblical family life practical. And we're talking about how to extend that to the world of college. And we were talking today about making college visits that count.
We were talking about meeting with the admissions office. One thing I do want to say is if your child is an athlete
yes.
who wants to perform at the college level, uh-huh. then they should not contact the admissions office first, but contact the coach first
mm-hmm.
and make sure there's a good day for them to come talk to the coaching staff.
Right.
Because sometimes if you contact the admissions office first, it makes the coach angry because he has to drop whatever he's doing to meet with you when the admissions office says.
Right. And so, and if you're going to be playing on a team there, if that's your dream, you certainly want to be on the right side of the coach.
Yeah.
And they are certainly one of the most, one of the busiest people on campus. That's for sure.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Okay. So you're going to meet with a professor in an area that your child might want to major mm-hmm. in. Again, the child knocks on the door, walks in, introduces himself, then introduces you.
Right.
And then what your child like mine are going to say, what do I talk about this professor with? I don't even know. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's some standard questions I need to ask.
Right.
They need to ask, tell me about your department. What do you think makes your department special? Why should I study in your department? How many students are in your freshman classes? Mm-hmm. Are your freshman classes taught by professors or teaching assistants? Who teaches your freshman classes?
That's an important question because, you know, in some of the smaller colleges, every class is taught by a tenured professor.
In some of the bigger colleges, your child might be one of 500 students taught by a TA.
And it's not out of line, especially in a big college, to ask very politely and respectfully, how do you manage student instructors who are not native English speakers?
Yeah, because I had that problem when I was in college. I had several teaching assistants who could not speak English at all.
That particularly happens in scientific and technical fields.
Yeah, that's
so
difficult.
It's good to ask, you know, is everybody qualified as English fluent they're speaking to students?
Another thing is ask them who they're, you know, you need to find out their worldview in some courses. Okay, in engineering, it doesn't make that big a difference. In engineering, your challenge is going to be, can I understand my professor? And are the classes small enough that I can get help?
Well, you know what? Engineering, mathematics, those kind of things tend to correct themselves.
The bridge either stays up or it falls down.
That's right. But if you're talking about a soft science like sociology, psychology, you know, an English or literature or maybe even a foreign language, sometimes the worldview of the professor is going to make a big difference in your experience.
And so one thing that you can ask, for example, if you're talking to the economics department, who is your favorite economist?
That's a great question because, you know, if they say Milton Friedman or if they say, Hayek or von Mises or something, that tells you one thing. But if they say, oh, I'm a John Maynard Keynes fan, you know, if you say, oh, I'm a Marxist, they are out there.
They are out there, and you need to know that going into it.
Yes.
And so asking what the favorite person in their field is really helpful. And mainly, though, you want to just make a connection with them. You want to see, is this somebody I could feel interested in studying under? Is their passion for the subject a passion that I share? It can be really opening. And it's awkward the first time or two.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, you know, it'll be second nature to your student.
You know, question on that. Would you recommend, you know, the common recommendation now is when students start applying for colleges, they need to have the dream school, and they need to have a safe school that they feel confident.
We need to talk about that in another session because I've got a ton to say about that.
Well, my
let's do another.
Okay, well, we can talk about that another time. Go ahead. We're going to talk about this school here. You want to find out about?
Okay. So, what about how do you find out if this is a good place to be a Christian?
That is crucially important, isn't it? Isn't it? Because so many students go off to college, and if they're not careful, they can be drawn away from the faith of their fathers.
And it doesn't necessarily have to do with the professors.
And it doesn't have to do whether it's a Christian or a nominally Christian school or even a big secular state college. I found the Lord in a big secular state college.
Yes.
Or rather, he found me.
And I was discipled in one.
Okay.
And because I think people get it wrong. Yeah, there are a lot of professors out there going to push a crazy worldview.
Right.
But I have found that the average engagement of students is so low that if your student is gung-ho and does their work and asks questions, is involved in class, that even the students that have been out-and-out Marxist and totally opposed to our worldview and atheist love our kids.
Yeah, because they like the engagement.
They just want somebody who wants to learn.
Right.
And so, so it's professors, it's also the social milieu. Are there other Christians? Because it's hard to stand alone.
Well, and there's a couple of things you can do that. One thing we found very helpful, look up the campus ministries.
Yes.
Look for, you know, every denomination has some sort of campus ministry. If you're in a Presbyterian church, it would be Reformed University Fellowship. If you're a Baptist, you'd be looking for something like Baptist Student Association or Baptist Collegiate Ministries.
And there's some that are non-denominational, like InterVarsity and Campus Crusade are on nearly every college campus.
And you know what? Most of those have a website. You can search out, find out the name and often the email address of the campus minister assigned to that particular college.
Advance and say, can I meet with you when I'm there or can I meet with a student in your group? And so what do you want to find out? You want to find out, you know, what's it like to be a Christian on this campus? Am I going to have any friends if I don't drink?
Mm-hmm.
How many students come to your meeting? Because, you know, we went to one campus. We went to two different campuses of very similar schools, similar histories, similar majors, similar social situation.
Yep.
At one, the InterVarsity chapter had about 10 to 12 students show up, and that was between two colleges.
Wow.
At another one, they had 200 show up. similar size colleges.
Now, that tells you something about the Christian culture, if you will.
Yeah, that tells you, it doesn't tell you the depth of commitment of those people showing up.
That's another question.
But it does tell you you're going to have a whole lot more company at the one school than at the other school.
You can ask them things, and you can say, look, I'm a conservative believer. I follow Jesus Christ. I believe in the Bible. Is there a lot of hostility to that here?
Yes.
What are the big challenges that you find as a campus minister on this campus?
What's life like in the dorm for a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
What's life like with professors for a Christian? Are there professors that will discriminate? Because in some colleges there are.
True.
You know, what has been your experience as a Christian on this campus?
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn a lot. Another important question to ask at some universities, like, you know, one of our sons went to a university that had a very high percentage of Greek involvement, fraternities and sororities.
Right.
And I wish we had asked, what is the social life like for people who don't join a fraternity?
That's right. Because, you know, the college I went to, it was about 25 to 30% fraternities and sororities. And so if you went, fine. If you didn't pledge, fine. There was plenty of people to interact with either way. But then one of our sons went to a college that was like 85 to 90% governed by the Greek membership. And you know what? That really changes the culture a great deal.
It does. And you need to know that. And you still may decide, this is where God wants me.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to know what you're getting into. You also need to look for a good church in your denomination
mm-hmm.
that is either within walking distance of the campus
mm-hmm.
or that if your student doesn't have a car or that somebody's willing to come get them.
Yep.
Because being involved in a church that is not on campus. They need to be involved in both a student ministry.
Right.
And a church that is not connected to the campus, because you need both.
You know what? You kind of need to get outside that college bubble.
Yes.
Because I know the place that I went to school was great. It was great college, but it felt like I went for weeks and I only saw people who were my age or people who were in their 40s and 50s who were professors.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see families with small children. I didn't see elderly folks, except when I went off campus to church. That's where I saw the real world. And you got a breather and say, you know what? The ivory tower has its place, but this is not all of my life.
And if you're having some struggles on campus with a professor or with the other students, mm-hmm. having Christian fellowship that you can get advice from that isn't involved in it is really helpful.
Yes.
And so make sure that there's a church in the area that they can go to. Mm-hmm. Make sure that there is a campus organization they can be involved with.
Right.
And preferably more than one. You probably ought to meet with more than one Christian group if you can.
Yeah, because they're all going to have different perspective. And sometimes the campus minister may be really gifted or maybe really not. And so you can't look at just one group and say, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, there's another thing, too, that we learned. There's a lot of clues out on campus about the culture that people don't talk about.
That's right. We'll see things, posters put around of different activities.
Like going to the bulletin boards in the student union is a good place to see what kind of entertainment, things that people organize as student activities.
Now, if you're looking at secular colleges, they're not all going to be Christian friendly.
Oh, no.
But if they're all hostile to your worldview and there's nothing mm-hmm. that's pro your worldview, that's a clue.
Right. And you can also see the kind of official things that are being promoted for the students. And so if you see that the college is bringing in like really controversial speakers on sexual orientation or, you know, other topics, and you look at that and say, this is going to be all, you know, kind of difficult to manage if this is an official event that the college is sponsoring.
And it may be that you decide this is where God wants me, but you want to be ready to fight that battle.
You need to know going into it.
You need to know going into it what's going on.
Right.
We're not going to talk about recruiting today because we want to mm-hmm. do a whole session on athletic recruiting.
Right. That's a whole different topic. And we hope to have some guests to talk about that with a little bit of background.
I think we ought to invite the guy from Student Athlete World because that's who Samuel, our son, is working with. And we've really enjoyed that.
That's an excellent idea.
Let's
we're not going
him.
To talk about that.
Okay. And so you want also, if there's any extracurricular activities that your child is just really committed to that they love, mm-hmm. it'd be a good idea to contact those people on the campus.
That's true. You know, there's maybe you're not a college level athlete, but you still want to play some intramural sports. You know, that's the kind of thing. maybe there's particular hobbies that they're interested in, and it could be anything from horseback riding to model aircraft construction. I mean, there's a million activities on any college campus.
Now, let's talk about what do you wear to these things?
Okay. Yeah, you know what? You will see it all, but I tell you what we found is you don't want to wear a tux and tails, but you want to dress a little above the student level.
A lot above the student level.
So you're looking like...
You want to be professionally dressed.
Yeah.
Particularly in the South and in elite schools. Mm-hmm. At the South, at any school. But and elite schools in the North.
So for the guys, places. You're talking like a sports coat or a blazer.
Sports coat or a blazer. Tie, khakis.
A button-down shirt.
Button-down shirt and a tie.
Okay. Now, T-shirts? No. Yeah. Flip-flops? They're not shoes. Okay.
And if your student is not comfortable wearing that kind of stuff, you need to make him wear it to several events before you go to a college.
Practice going to church that way.
One of our friends who's an admissions counselor said he can tell when a guy walks in the door whether he's ever worn a tie before. Because he said the guys who have never worn ties before sit there and fiddle with their tie the whole time.
Yeah.
They're being interviewed and it's really awkward. And so give them some practice. Take them out to dinner. Let them wear it to church. But yeah, really, it's better to be too dressed up than not enough. Because if you get there and you feel overdressed, you can take your jacket off and throw it over your arm.
Yeah, you can.
You can even take the tie off. You can roll up your sleeves. But you can't dress up.
That's
if
right.
If you get there in shorts and flip-flops, you're stuck if you realize you're underdressed.
That's right. So that's good advice. Do you have any advice for young women?
Young women need to wear slacks.
Mm-hmm.
Or a dress or skirt, mm-hmm. and a nice blouse. And they do not need to wear anything that is much above their knee,
mm-hmm.
or that is revealing in any way.
Yeah, there's some attention that you're not trying to attract.
Right.
And if it looks like you are dressing up for a really exciting date, they're going to mark that down as this person doesn't have their act together.
And so, you know, go with your convictions about how you should dress, but dress a little bit nicer. What you wear... To church or better. Okay.
Just think business.
Business casual.
Thing. Yeah.
Business casual. Mm-hmm. Wear comfortable shoes, though, or you may be so miserable that you can't concentrate on the college.
Yeah.
And so, you know, is there anything else that we should share with these folks? You know, I know we need to do a whole nother session about some of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it can be a pretty full day.
Oh, it will be.
By the time you've met with admissions, mm-hmm. met with financial aid, mm-hmm. eaten lunch in the cafeteria, met with a couple of different professors in the departments, taken a tour of the college, that's a full day.
It really is. But you know what? It is so worth it, because when you've been on that campus and you feel it out and you've looked for the clues, do you know everything? No, you don't. But you know a whole lot more than your average student coming in.
And it has changed our students' opinion of different schools. Because I think about one school that we visited that is a good match for where he ended up going. They're very similar schools.
Right.
Similar, historically similar in their flavor. But one school he went to and he said, this is awesome.
Yes.
And the other one he went to and he said, this stinks. Well, you know, I couldn't really tell a difference.
Well, it's like when you go to a historically Christian college and the student that's doing the tour goes way out of their way to explain how, yeah, you've got to go to chapel, but they've got Wi-Fi in the chapel. You don't have to pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, that says, okay, they may be Christian in name, but they're not going to build up my student's spiritual life that way.
Right.
You know, or alternately, when you go to that big secular campus, but you see there's a vibrant Christian community, there's active ministries, you see the signs up that say, hey, we've got outreach activities, we've got Bible studies going in the dorms, then you know, hey, you know what? There may be a culture here that we can work with.
Yes. And you really can't make any...
Don't make an assumption. Don't make an assumption either way.
Yeah, because the expensive private school may end up being cheaper to your family than the local public college. That happened to us.
That happened to one. We had one student who ended up at a college that charged over $50,000 per year. He went there on a full scholarship. It was cheaper for him to go to that college than to go to our local state college and live at home.
That's right. And that's hard to understand.
So run the numbers.
Run the numbers.
But financial aid is kind of like a different discussion.
It is. We probably ought to have a session about that at some point, too.
Okay.
But anyway, be sure we're talking about what they're going to dress, what they need to bring. You need, bring a camera or be prepared to take pictures with your iPhone, because you will never remember all this later.
Right.
Take lots of pictures. Take notes. Be sure to get the email addresses of anyone you talk to and their name.
And send them a thank you note
afterwards. And send them a thank you note from the student.
From the student, yes.
From the student.
And you know what? It's good to sit down at the end of the day. maybe you and your students go out for dinner by yourselves and kind of do a debrief.
Yes.
What did we see today? Did we get all of our questions answered? What's your general feel? You know, you don't have to make a decision that day, but you need to kind of cement this in your head. I like this school, but I have reservations. This one really felt bad. Whatever it is, you need to kind of form an impression.
Yeah, and it's amazing how different these things are. The college visits, it has been remarkable to me to find out that, you know, they've made a huge difference to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one we went to, and it left both us and our son just cold. And when we debriefed, we talked about it, and we had different reasons. But still, we both felt cold about it, and we realized, you know, this is not where God wants you to be.
Yeah.
You know, let's apply somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? When you're talking about sending thousands of your dollars and trusting your child
for four years
to live and study at a place.
Because you think about this, you know what? Here's the major point of education, scripturally speaking. It's discipleship.
Yes.
And the disciple becomes like his master. And so you're going to submit your young person under the tutelage of these people for 4 years. What do you think the outcome's going to be? What's your best guess?
And I tell you what, I just can't emphasize enough to you, make college visits and make them count. One of our sons is at a college now mm-hmm. because he made a college visit, and the college visit wasn't real exciting. He wasn't super impressed with the college, but he made a contact with a professor. And he and that professor emailed back and forth 2 or 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And our son realized, you know what? I want to study economics under this professor.
Isn't that interesting? It's almost like the old scholastic model. Say, I want to study under a particular expert in this field. It wasn't a matter of where he was or the college or the town or anything. It was a matter of, I want to learn what this man knows.
And so that's where he went. And he's done it. And he's loved it.
And it's been great.
Yeah. And so make college visits and make them count. It's good for your kids. Look, you can find our stuff at RaisingRealMen.com. We're putting together an ebook about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so keep an eye out for it. RaisingRealMen.com/our store.
That's right.
And you'll be able to see some resources there to help you make a good decision with your student about where they need to study next.
That's right. So look, we want to thank you for joining us. We've been talking about making college visits that count, finding the information that you need. And there's so much more that can be said. Please come out to our website, check out our blog, check out some of the CDs we've got on this very subject, and we hope that we'll get to see you again sometime soon here on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Till then.
See you later, folks.
Thanks. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.